Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew's gospel, the very beginning, Matthew 3, not the very, very beginning. You'll know, those of you who grew up with scripture, that the birth stories of Jesus, which appear in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, sort of are the set pieces at the very beginning of those stories. And then there is a hiatus that the story takes, and the first 30 years of Jesus's life are not known to us. There's only one story which comes in the Gospel of Luke, which happens when he is a young man, but that's it. Everything passes in silence. What we know, however, from Scripture, as the Gospels have told it to us, is that Jesus's public ministry, which takes place sort of usually considered over the last 3 years of his life, begin with his baptism in the Jordan River. There is a version of the story that Luke tells. This one is from Matthew's gospel. Matthew's gospel is unusual in its telling because there is this particular moment, as you'll hear, the story itself is not very long. Matthew records that in the moment when Jesus presents himself to John the Baptist for baptism, John hesitates and says, "Don't we have this backwards? Shouldn't you be the one who's baptizing me?" So there is that element in this particular accounting of the story. There are some technical, historical components to why that question might have been asked in that way. We're not going to get into those this morning. But just to name that in this particular telling of the story, there is this powerful moment of exchange between these two figures. And there is the humility that John shows of asking the question just alongside the humility of Jesus submitting for baptism himself at the hands of another. And so, in so many ways, it models for us the importance of that openness to one another, that moment of encounter that we have with someone else, and recognizing the deep holiness that is at work in such encounters when they are under the umbrella of the love of God. So hear these words, just these brief words from Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented Jesus, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." And so John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, this is the Word of God, and it can be trusted. At one point this past summer, Liz and the girls and I were visiting my folks, and it's a little bit of a rainy day, which is a drag when you go to a beach community for a vacation. So we were a little bit trying to come up with something to do, and we found out that in New Haven they now have a place where you can do escape rooms. How many of you know what an escape room is? All right. So escape rooms, if you're not really familiar, it's a room, you get locked in a room and you get an hour, and the all of the clues you need to sort of figure out how to unlock the door are somewhere in there. You just have to sort of figure out how to put them together. And usually there's a story that's involved, and you sort of have to piece together the story. I forget what the story was. It was random. But anyway, this is something with kind of Norma Desmond and Sunset Boulevard and like a haunted movie set. Anyway, we were doing okay with sort of putting things together. And we got from one room to another. We were about at minute 40 of the hour. So we were like, we can still do this. We just need to buckle down. And we get into a room. And there's a coffin in the room. And, you know, all right, okay, there's a coffin. And then, you know, you've sort of found the key to unlock the coffin. And then it became clear at a certain point that someone needed to get into the coffin and close the lid. Jessica Stanchu was like, no. I'm with you, Cousin Grant. Yes. Right, so you have to get, you know, like if you close the lid, something, some vital piece of information could only be determined by getting in the coffin and closing the lid. I don't go for a lot of this kind of macho stuff, as you know. I'm decaffeinated on most of those issues. But I was like, I'm the dad, I'll go in. I step in, and then, you know, they're lowering the lid, and they're all laughing. And suddenly, I shoot my hand up so they cannot shut the lid, because, I mean, this is going to be where the escape room people think it's some sort of funny joke to make it so you're stuck there, and then you're part of the problem that needs solving. Now, I am often part of the problem that needs solving in my family, but I do not mean it in this way. So I was unwilling. It was too far beyond my comfort zone to do it. So, of course, what do you do? My firstborn then says, you know, fine, Dad, I'll do it. And so she goes in, shuts the lid, and she's like, I think this was a bad idea. Anyway, there was the clue. We did not make it out of the escape room, as it turned out. We did not beat the clock, although we did quite well. Nevertheless, this idea of comfort zones, I think, is important, and we all have them. We all have them somewhere. And I'm thinking about the story this morning in particular because one of the things I think that we forget, the way that we do baptisms, the way that we have done baptisms for a tremendously long period of time here in the church, not only this one, but in other churches, it's a very domesticated thing to be baptized. It isn't something that takes you out of your comfort zone, but that's not how it was in the early church. In the early church, when you were baptized, they felt it was very important that you be baptized in living water. And it was a full immersion kind of experience, which is to say, you were looking for a river. Now, I also would submit to you, how many people do you think had taken swimming lessons at the Y in ancient Israel? See? Right, none. So it was really a much taller proposition to step into those waters, even with someone standing there to hold you, to dip your head below the water and to rise up renewed, was not some merely symbolic thing, although it was, of course, symbolic. But it involved a level of self that I think we forget when we think about baptism, and when we imagine our own baptism or baptize our children, and these are wonderful, wonderful events, but we forget how much would have been at stake. And it's too bad that we do, because the promise of baptism fundamentally is that that is still at stake. We are being invited in all the chaos of our lives to believe that we will be held by someone, and that we will rise from those waters as those who are called to hold others when they step into the chaos. To be a faithful person is an invitation always, always to push beyond our own comfort zone and to believe that we will find community and find God as we do that. See God, encounter the holy in some new way. It is a funny thing when you think about it, that, and that's the moment that I flagged for you before in Matthew's gospel. John says, why do I baptize you? Shouldn't it be the other way round? And yet the answer is no, because what the gospel is trying to tell us, what God is trying to tell us, is that God was willing to be vulnerable with us. God was willing to get into the river and to put his head below the water in order to be held by us, so that we in turn might come to understand what it was to be held by God. One of the modern sort of monastic movements in the country, a UK neo-monastic movement, comes from a place called the Northumbria Community, and they have a rule of life. And if you know rules of life as ancient monks used to do them, if you studied this in history class, you'll know rules of life can be books, thick. St. Benedict's rule of life takes a while to get through, the foundation of modern monasticism, or ancient monasticism. The rule of life for the Northumbria community is actually quite short. It says two things. It says the rule we embrace and keep will be that of availability and vulnerability. To be available to God in the cell of our own heart, when we can be turned towards him and seek his face, and then to be available to others in a call to exercise hospitality, recognizing that in welcoming others, we honor and welcome Christ himself. And then they say we're called also to intentional, deliberate vulnerability. And what they say that means is embracing the vulnerability of being teachable. And I like that bit. So often when we talk about vulnerability, we think of it as a kind of a weakness. We don't tend to think of vulnerability as openness, as teachability, an ability to learn from surprising teachers who come along. And yet, in this story of the baptism of Jesus, I think we see that God submits himself to be available and to be vulnerable, to be teachable. What is it that God could possibly have to learn about humanity? The answer is actually plenty, because that's the nature of the relationship that we have with God. And so for us, by dint of being baptized people, we are challenged for ourselves to be those who become available to God and to others, and teachable, vulnerable, open to whatever it is outside what is most familiar, what is most comfortable to us. Recognizing that those are the places where so often God dwells. In ancient scripture, in Hebrew scripture, the place where God is always encountered is never in the city. God is always encountered in the wilderness, that chaotic place outside of civilization. And that's why John, in being a prophet, isn't standing by the cisterns of Jerusalem baptizing the biggest crowds that he can get. He's out in the wilderness, in that place where anything might happen, in that place of chaotic possibility, where you have to decide you're willing to go, because you have to decide to be teachable. You have to decide to be open. And so this is the life that we're called to as baptized people, a life available to God and one another, available to be used, and a life that's open to listening, to receiving, to offering, and to learning. Jesus shows us in being baptized that this is the way, and it has been the way, and it is still the way. And what we learn is that when you open yourselves up to that teaching and to the power of that transformational love, that there is no place that fundamentally will be beyond your comfort zone, and no one who you will look at and not understand to be a sister or a brother. May it be so for you. Amen.